It's Friday night. That means it's time for The Don Tony Show.
You've waited all week, and now it's finally here. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
I'm the man, I'm the legend, but not the myth. What's up, everybody? By the way, is my audio okay? Right before I went live, I saw something like flicker, and I was like, oh my God, that's all I need for today. Good evening, everybody. It is Friday night, February 19th, 2021. You see, it's already Sean got it, the name. Check this out, everybody. A lot of you already know this. If you tuned into yesterday's shows, not going to spend more than a minute about it. But yesterday was a very important day, especially when you realize 2 weeks ago today, my father had serious coronary artery bypass surgery. If you would have told me that less than 2 weeks later, not only would he get better this quick, you know, enough where he could actually like do things once in a while. But yesterday, we got the second shot for the COVID vaccine. That is my dad. He was actually first in line. And, you know, I kid you not, when we pulled up yesterday, and anybody that's on my Twitter saw, I drove in a snowstorm and showed everybody the location. When I pulled up to the vaccination site yesterday, my father got out. And I'm like, no, you know, let me see if they could let you sit inside or something, or you sit in the truck until your time is called. He's like, no, I'm going to go out there. He went out there, and I kid you not, he went like this and showed his, you know, stitches or whatever, staples. And they said, no, you could go right inside. So they put him first on the line. He got the shot yesterday. Also yesterday, yours truly got the second shot. And yes, my mom as well. So here's where it has to do with today's show. My arm was a little sore last night. Felt pretty good. We had an awesome episode of SDT, Q&A, AMA, whatever you want to call it. Overnight, I started feeling like shit. Woke up every hour. Today, two times during the day, I started getting the chills. At a 99.9 fever at around 6 o'clock tonight. And I honestly was thinking about postponing this episode and doing it tomorrow. But I thought about it. What if I feel just as bad as tomorrow? So I decided, let's do the show. Let's talk about SmackDown. Let's do predictions for Elimination Chamber. Let's talk about this Wednesday's AEW NXT ratings. Let's break down those quarter hour ratings because it is interesting, as always. And then let's get out of here. So I feel like crap right now. Might not be as energetic as always, but we will have a fun show nonetheless. And obviously, your questions we'll get into as well. Now, I know a few of you sent some questions in already. I know Daniel San, especially about Drew. Let me say one thing about tonight's episode of SmackDown. Unless maybe I missed something, but when Edge cut his promo, he talked about how he had his choice of 13 people that he could face for the championship at WrestleMania. Now, when you think of 13 people, you think of the six participants in the Raw Elimination Chamber, the six participants in the SmackDown Elimination Chamber, and Roman Reigns, 13, right? I don't know if anybody picked up on this today, but unless I missed something, WWE went out of their way tonight to get the idea of Finn Balor versus Edge out of your minds. And think about it. Not even, I mean, unless I missed something, correct me if I missed it, but I don't recall hearing the name Finn Balor at all. I know Finn Balor's not fighting Sunday, but my feeling coming out of SmackDown tonight, they did everything they possibly can to eliminate the idea that Edge could face the NXT champion. And honestly, take that promo that Edge said on NXT TV, the conversation he had with Karrion Kross. Take all of that, and I'm sure there was some reality to what he said, but that all means shit now because of this. And not only that, Edge tonight on commentary. I mean, did he take a sleeping pill? Why was he whispering? Why was he being extra quiet when he was talking? Hey, I could possibly face all these people. I could buy. Who is he? It was just, I don't know, man. I don't know. Look, did any of us really think that Finn Balor was going to take on Edge? No. Did a lot of us want to see that? Yes. I just hope tonight, because Edge used the spear and Roman used the spear. Now, yes, at WrestleMania, spear versus spear. You know that's coming. But I don't want the goddamn spear to be the reason why this match has to go down. Didn't we just have someone else wrestle in a match with spears? And I don't know, man. We'll get into predictions a little bit later. And you know what? Remember last Friday? We all had that conversation. And I pulled the live, I don't want to say chat room. You guys are family. You know, our live family who was checking out the show last week. Remember when I polled all of you? Do you think Sasha Banks and Bianca challenging for the tag titles is necessary for the storyline? And 90% of you plus said, no, it is not necessary. What was the purpose of having Lana and Naomi win those matches? What was the purpose of teasing Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez after, and then you do this Sunday? Do I think Sasha and Bianca are going to win the tag titles? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, when we get to prediction time, obviously I got to give you an answer tonight. I mean, we've been on a roll. I mean, the last three or four pay-per-views, I think we've only gotten one match wrong, maybe two at the most. So now you got to look at it a little bit differently. Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai versus Sasha and Bianca. Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai versus Shayna and Nia. You know, now it sounds a little bit more iffy. Bianca and, because put it this way, let me tell you the reason why I don't think, as of right now, and I might change my mind because I do predictions later tonight in this episode. As of this moment, the reason why I don't think Sasha and Bianca would win Sunday is because who is going to dethrone them to cause the split to lead to Mania? Shayna and Nia going to win it back? I mean, I'm not. That's why I'm not so sure right now. But like I said, by the time we get towards the end of this episode, I got to pick a winner. So, erratic booking by WWE. Yeah, in a lot of ways. Now, Danielson, I'm with you, man. I've been saying this for 2 months. I think Brock Lesnar returning is still a big possibility. You know, there's rumored WrestleMania matches starting to float around. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that Randy Orton is going to take on The Fiend. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. We've been talking about it for a month, that Bad Bunny is going to team up with Damian Priest to take on Miz and Morrison. All right, I don't know why suddenly this is like a shock to people out there. Roman Reigns is likely going to take on Edge. You know, so Drew McIntyre right now, we don't know who his WrestleMania opponent is going to be. Some people think it could possibly still be Sheamus. I don't know about that. I don't know if WWE feels that that match is strong enough for WrestleMania, even if it's a two-night event. Now, when WWE tonight said that Edge is wrestling in the main event of WrestleMania, remember, there's two nights. So Edge will main event one night, and Drew McIntyre will main event the other. I don't see Drew McIntyre and Sheamus closing out one of those two nights. Maybe I change my mind down the line. I love your idea, Phil, of Bobby Lashley. Man, I think people legitimately would cheer Bobby Lashley. Not as much as Drew McIntyre. I still really appreciate Drew McIntyre. But Danielson, I'm going to stick with you, man. I've been going with that for 2+ months now. Brock Lesnar, WWE's got all this bank. And COVID, look at the numbers dropping significantly throughout the globe. I know you got these, you know, these hybrids of the virus and everything, but anyone out there that's actually tried to learn what the spike protein is and all that stuff, variant, as long as the spike protein is not changed, you can have variants, but the vaccine is still going to be, still going to work, you know? A lot of news outlets out there can't use Trump anymore. So a lot of those news outlets out there are need something else to keep you hooked to tuning into their shows. And the hook now is the variant, the variant, the variant, the variant, the variant, the variant. Oh, it's, you remember they said it was 70% higher contagious. It was like 70% higher as far as contagious. Now look at how that number's gone down, because scientists now have to give you legit updates. They're not Cuomo. They're not going to be like Cuomo and hide everything. So WrestleMania is still 50 days away. Think of all the people that are going to be vaccinated. They're averaging almost 2 million. I want people to understand this. They're averaging almost 2 million Americans vaccinated every single day. If they stay on that track and don't increase the number, remember, Johnson & Johnson's coming out with one. You have one or two other pharmaceuticals that are going to... I mean, Johnson & Johnson is going to be out next month. So they're going to up it to 3 million, I would think, 2.5 to 3 million a day. Multiply that by 40 days. You're going to have almost two-thirds of the country already vaccinated. These numbers are starting to drop significantly. I think if Brock Lesnar's in shape... And if Brock Lesnar could get into the States, I'm going to still go with Brock Lesnar versus Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. It makes sense. It makes sense. We had the reverse last year. Brock was the champ. Drew was the challenger. Brock was the heel. Drew was the babyface. Yes, heel babyface is the same this year, but the champion is now the challenger. So, but now I agree with you all. I would take Bobby Lashley also. No doubt about it, I would take Bobby Lashley too. Steve Joseph, what happened to the Otis Tucker feud? Oh, that's dead. Tucker's been on Raw. Well, he hasn't been on Raw, but he's been on Raw, the Raw roster, let's say. I remember that match. He was involved in a tag match, I think, with Retribution. I mean, Tucker, I feel bad, but you knew without Otis, that guy, there was nothing. Unless they totally repackage him. Remember my idea from about 6-7 months ago of having Tucker become part of Retribution and totally transform him? And, hey, I know some people out there think it's a stupid idea, but what else are you doing with the guy? You know? But, man, they've done nothing with that guy. Zero. Tonight, you know, Otis and Chad Gable showing a different side of themselves, especially Otis attacking Rey Mysterio. Man, that finished that match sucked. I mean, the referee was not decisive. There was no announcement. The commentators didn't even know what the fuck to say. They were like a production meeting before the show tonight. And Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. What was that with the women? What was that with the women and Reginald? I mean, I didn't like it at all. I mean, Bayley wrestling in a blouse and a turtleneck and no shoes. You knew that she was going to do virtually nothing in the match. There's so much disdain and hatred with Sasha Banks and Bayley during her duck, duck, go or ding, dong, dong, you know, segment. Sasha enters the ring and the best Bayley could do is go through the door, the forbidden door, go through my back door. Awful. Awful. Yes, Big E having a foot bath, eating a Salisbury steak TV dinner, sitting at ringside. I think that match could still end up on Sunday. Tomorrow, you have that talking smack. Apollo Crews is going to be on. Obviously, Paul Heyman is going to praise him. And that match could very well still happen at Elimination Chamber. Good camera work by WWE. You know, when Apollo is like, you want me to drop the steps? No problem. And he drops the steps, but we didn't see where they landed. Obviously, they did not land on Big E. But you still heard, unless Big E, his body's made out of metal. I mean, you know, muscle is, you know. But, you know, I don't know if Apollo's turn is going to be permanent. Because, okay, this is the only way to set up some, you know, matches against Big E. They didn't want friend versus friend, friend versus friend, friend versus friend. So they did this. Chad Gable and Otis, I mean, it almost feels like because they got to have, they don't really have any decisive opponents for Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. So is this going to set up like a 10 tag team match? You know, that's what it feels like. But I kind of like, you know, what they did tonight with Otis and Chad Gable. You know, Otis attacking Ray. I guess Chad Gable being in the ring is why they got disqualified, but then Otis doing a splash off the top rope and, you know, doesn't have an angry look on his face, but he's got a look of satisfaction, which I kind of liked as well. Yeah, this episode of SmackDown was kind of blah, kind of reflects how I feel for tonight. Still better than Raw by a long shot. So anyway, guys, let's talk a little bit more about SmackDown since we're on the topic. Let me give you my predictions and then we'll do the NXT AEW quarter hour ratings from Wednesday. Oh, I'm going to have so much fun talking about that because what we talk about every single week still, I mean, there's no argument about it. Especially if you oh, by the way, if you missed yesterday's show that we did, you missed a lot of fun. First of all, after a lot of thinking and someone who does perform on TV really convincing me to take the stuff out of the archives, play it for everyone, let's poke fun at yours truly, enjoy it. You know, I started the ball rolling yesterday. If you missed yesterday's episode, I finally started playing footage of yours truly managing, wrestling, brawling, whatever you want to call it. You guys yesterday made me feel so damn good. And I'm not trying to be PC or, you know, overly emotional right now, but you guys made me feel so damn good because I tell you, when I was doing that stuff, you know, anywhere from 2003 to 2009, 10 around there, there's a lot of people that made yours truly feel like ultimate shit. And, you know, I thank you for the compliments yesterday, but man, it felt so damn good. So you're more than welcome to check out yesterday's episode. If you want to see the fun with this, it starts around the 28-minute mark of last night's show. And by the way, you know, a few of you sent me emails about this. You know, what I showed yesterday is about 13 years old. And a few of you pointed out to me like, you know, look at me from 13 years ago and now. I mean, my face obviously looks like a swollen basketball. But yeah, I didn't think that I looked so different. And people are telling me that you look younger now than you did before. And that was 13 years ago. So, all right, Daniel San keeps saying that Tucker is fired. Tucker was legit released. I don't recall Tucker being released. He's gone for a while. Wow. I mean, it's a shame. It's a shame. I mean, yes, you are right, Daniel. You are right, because I remember he posted that 2 or 3 sentence statement that it's time to, like, reinvigorate and, you know, focus on the future. It's the generic, you know, like kind of it's you got to show sympathy for the guy. You are absolutely right. Chris Maycock is saying, I got to be very careful when I say that. Chris Maycock is saying, I look a lot happier now. Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, I am happy. I mean, we're having a ball, man. How do you not have fun doing this stuff? You know, it's just, I know some people out there still do not accept some of the changes that have happened. Don't need to get into it. We don't go there anymore. It's not necessary. But I'll say this, and this is honest, sincere advice I give to each and every one of you out there. You got to pursue what's good for you, what makes you happy, not what makes other people happy. There's an old saying, before you love someone else, you got to love yourself. And before, you know, and honestly, Mish, I'm not getting into any deep conversation tonight, but Mish is so guilty of this. And he knows it. And I tell him 1,000 times over, Mish's number one problem is not sugary drinks. Mish's number one problem is that Mish does everything he can to make other people happy and many times puts himself aside. And yes, it makes him happy when he sees others happy. But I try to tell him repeatedly, dude, make yourself happy before you make anybody else happy. And the guy is so generous and so giving, and I'm not pandering to him. I'm not buttering him up because I need favors from him. You know, but you really, you got to do what makes you happy. You got to go for what yours. Do not hold back because others don't want to do the same thing. And don't feel guilty about it. That's why when you see the smile on my face yesterday, I'm serious. This is not PC shit. But that's my, and by the way, what the hell happened to my eyebrows? Yeah, when you see me smiling, I mean, my eyebrows go up. They're almost like erect. But when look at this picture, I'm not really smiling. What happened to my eyebrows? My eyebrows like pointing like at 11 o'clock. But back then they were like straight lines. You see that? Like my, even now, like my, when I talk, my eyebrows are like up. And back then they were like this. Honestly, if you look from far away, it looks like I have a unibrow, like a Santino Marella eyebrows. But I'm extremely happy. And honestly, no bullshit, no pandering, no kissing up. If you guys are happy with what's going on with this channel, then I am happy. And, you know, it's a cool thing, man. This is awesome. By the way, we started adding color to it. If you want to make sure to check out Monday night, Breakfast Soup returns Monday, Breakfast Soup Raw, I should say. That returns Monday night. Yeah, we're working on the Beavis and Butthead little tribute. That is just, I probably can zoom in a little bit. Yeah, I guess we can. Yeah, that is me on the left and Mish on the right. We're not done. We're adding like a couple little things to it. But yeah, so Monday we'll have a fun show. Sunday night, right after Elimination Chamber, I will be here giving you a recap and review in case you want to tune in. I'm not doing a watch-along. A few of you asked if I'm going to do a watch-along. I don't think there's enough matches to really want to do a watch-along for this. So I will be doing a recap. Yes, Austin, I absolutely, I know it's outdated, but Beavis and Butthead is probably my favorite cartoon of all time. Seriously. I mean, I grew up Tom and Jerry and everything else, but Beavis and Butthead, just different level. They're supposed to come back. I mean, it was supposed to come back in 2021. You would think with the pandemic that, you know, the writers would all be hunkered down and working on, you know, and Mike Judge should be just in his house doing nothing but preparing for this. So watch along for WrestleMania. That is more likely. It would be kind of rough to do it for both nights because then you're talking 7, 8, possibly 9 hours of show. So that might be a bit much. Let's see what the matches officially are. Let's see, you know, let's play it by ear. Right now, I think it's way too early to tell. But so SmackDown tonight, Edge hits the ring. And he talks about the Elimination Chamber. And as I said, opening up this show, first thing I noticed right away is, okay, they're doing everything possible to make us forget about Finn Balor versus Edge as a possibility. You know, Edge was just, I guess, used for that week to see if it would spark a rating and to give that little teaser that any champion, you know, Edge could face. That's no longer the case. And as we talked about Wednesday, and even last Sunday, it looks like Finn Balor could very well be facing a 3, 4, 5-way, maybe even a 6-way, could possibly be a ladder match, could possibly be a TLC match, who knows? But, you know, Adam Cole is back in the mix. Karrion Kross, we got to see what they're going to do with him. I mean, Kyle O'Reilly has already had two amazing matches with Finn Balor. You would think that he would be in the mix still. Then you add one, two other names to it. So I kind of think, no disrespect intended, but as I said last week, I don't think WWE, you know, if they have Finn Balor defending at WrestleMania, I don't think a one-on-one is strong enough for WrestleMania. I think they would probably want multiple. And who knows? Who knows? They have the takeover. Maybe it happens there instead. But tonight, Edge talking about Elimination Chamber, no mention about, you know, hey, I could still choose Finn Balor. I could still, you know, fight for the NXT. No, not even mentioned once. And trust me, there was so much talk about it tonight. WWE truly did go out of their way for you to forget about Balor versus Edge. But Edge out there cutting his promo gets interrupted by Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, and Paul Heyman. You know, I still get a chuckle at Roman Reigns, like, delaying his promo because he's angry at the piped-in soundboard "you suck" chants. But I don't think they have piped-in soundboard chants for Edge, you know? But Roman Reigns, you know, see, not trying to be stickly here, a stickler, but when Edge started saying to Roman Reigns that you're insecure, where did we hear that before? We heard that with Kevin Owens. That was the storyline. You think you're the tribal chief, you're insecure. Edge did the same exact promo. And then the best part, which is already on fire on social media, Roman Reigns whispers something in Edge's ear. We don't hear what it is. I played it back and tuned out all the other noise in my house and cranked it on 100 on the speakers. I still could not hear what he said. So, you know, yeah, Benjamin, when Kevin Owens was feuding with Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens talked to Roman Reigns about how he thought that he was the, you know, like the head chief of everything. And, you know, he was very insecure. And that's why he roughs up, you know, Jey Uso and almost like a mafia. I mean, he didn't use the exact words I said, but yeah, that was part of Kevin Owens' promos on Roman Reigns, that Roman Reigns is doing all of this because he's insecure. So Roman Reigns whispers something in Edge's ear. We have no idea what it is. Social media is having a lot of fun right now, piping in fake shit, you know, to, well, I'm sure sooner or later we will know what he said. And, you know, that was the segment for now. Edge and Roman Reigns' interaction would not be done tonight. Now, throughout the night, they showed Edge in the back talking to various and participants in the Elimination Chamber. Talking to Corbin. Corbin talking about his $39,000 watch, his $19,000 suit, blah, 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 blah. And it was funny because Edge is like, hey, you know, I got an expensive watch or, you know, timepiece. And he whips out his iPhone. And I guess the segment was maybe on a 1 minute delay, because as I've told you about Thunderdome with their delays, when Edge mentioned the time. He was actually a minute and 45 seconds behind. And I know what you're going to say, DT, I think you're being a too, you know. No, I mean, anybody that has iPhones, usually the time is synced with the world clock or whatever they use. By the way, I want to give a shout out to Eddie K. Eddie K is a loyal supporter of the shows here. And when I mention it now, you will recognize him. Eddie K is always on Thunderdome. He's always wearing red and blue. Is it red and blue? I want to make sure I have the colors right. Yeah, red and blue shirt combination. Every time he's on Thunderdome, red and blue. And I think WWE knows how many times this guy's been on because he seems to always be right smack center. Go back and look at the Seth Rollins promo that they repeated from last week. Right behind Seth Rollins is Eddie K. I'm shouting him out because tonight, I think, is the 59th time that he's on Thunderdome. Think about that. I thought I was hot shit because I was on four times. 59th time he is on Thunderdome. And he has given me so much information. You know, I mean, I got a kick out of it. I have nothing against Brian Alvarez. You know I'm subscribing to Meltzer's newsletter for decades. Guy, I absolutely enjoy Meltzer. I still don't understand the obsession of people that can't stand him but still can't get him out of their mouths. But I got a kick out of last week, like Alvarez, almost like breaking news that, oh, you know, announcers told the fans to cheer this. Where has he been? I mean, we talked about this 5-6 months ago. You know, when Adam Pearce would get on the earpiece or the Miz or somebody, all right, everybody, now, you know, get loud and cheer, thumbs up, you know, yes, 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 solo cups, solo cups. That's what they do. That's what they do. So, anyway, so Edge is seen talking to multiple people throughout the night, talking to Daniel Bryan, talking to Kevin Owens, talking to a few others. Now we get Apollo Crews versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Big E on commentary. Big E, funny. Okay. You know, at ringside with his shoes and socks off with a foot bath. Okay. All right. Comedy. Eating a TV dinner on a couch. All right. Funny. You know somebody is getting chucked into Big E. So Apollo Crews throws Shinsuke into Big E. Apollo gets up, gets into his face, blah, 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 blah. And long story short, Nakamura beats Apollo Crews. Kind of cheap with a roll-up. Get a lot of cheap roll-up victories. Young Bucks versus Santana Ortiz, inside cradle. By the way, oh, wait till we get into the ratings from Wednesday. Not a good night for the Young Bucks and Santana and Ortiz. Not a good night for NXT women as well. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. So Apollo Crews loses to Nakamura. After the match is over, Apollo Crews attacks Nakamura. Big E gets up, gets in his face. Apollo Crews picks up the ring steps, and Big E is basically telling him, put it down. Leave. Put it down. It's over. Leave. Now, Apollo Crews still pushing that original comment that Big E said a while back that Apollo Crews go back to catering. So Big E is in Apollo Crews's face telling Apollo Crews, go to the back. That's it. It's over. Big E turns his back. Big mistake. Apollo had put the steps down already, but Big E turns his back, goes checking on Nakamura. I don't know why Big E gives a shit so much about Nakamura, but Apollo Crews picks up the steps, wails Big E from behind. He kind of like trips over everybody, and then he basically tosses Nakamura over the padding on the outside, like where the guardrails usually are. He's on the first row of the LED screens. And he rolls Big E in, and basically Apollo Crews brings the ring steps in as well. So now you're thinking that Apollo Crews probably smashed Big E's, you know, exposed feet with the ring steps. Big E rolls out. So now we're thinking, okay, Big E is not taking the spot. But because we did not see the outside of the ring, Apollo Crews has got the ring steps in the air, and the referee is saying, put him down, put him down. And Apollo Crews, love it. It's like heels back in the day when a heel would have somebody in the air like this, and the ref would say, put him down. Okay, no problem. And he just drops him. Ultimate Warrior used to do that a lot. The ref is telling Apollo Crews, put down the steps. He's like, you want me to put it down? No problem. And he drops it outside the ring. We're supposed to believe, obviously, that it landed on Big E. Medics put him on a stretcher, wheel him to the back, put him in an ambulance. No mention if the match is still on for Sunday. This ambulance spot is designed, obviously, to do one of two things. Do that spot to explain why that match is not happening Sunday, or do that spot, and then we learn that Big E is okay, and he demands a match either between him and Apollo Crews, or him, Apollo Crews, and Nakamura. So it could go either way on Sunday. I tend to think that the ambulance spot, if you really want to maximize the damage that Apollo Crews did, you don't have that match Sunday. You have it next week on SmackDown. No reason why you can't do that. But you know how WWE is. They may do it anyway. So, and Apollo Crews and his teeth. See, I don't have white teeth like him. I mean, I'm kind of jealous of his teeth. I'm not jealous of Chris Van Vliet's teeth, though. You know, you know what his teeth look like? And I'm not trying to make fun of the guy. I like Chris Van Vliet. It's just a running joke on this show that whoever he interviews, it's like he used Gorilla Glue instead of toothpaste. He used Gorilla Glue instead of Ambisol. It's like, so what do you think of WrestleMania? Do you like E.W.? Who's your favorite wrestler? Who's your favorite food? What's your favorite color? Do you like me? I like you. What time is it? Is there any? You like the snow? I like the winter. I like the summer. My teeth are better than CM Punk's. Yes, I will say that. CM Punk doesn't have teeth for 4K TV. And honestly, if that's the worst we could criticize CM Punk, you know the guy is a legend. Awesome. I hope CM Punk returns to the ring before. And you know, look, you see some wrestlers coming back at their late 40s, almost 50. CM Punk, you know, still has plenty of time to make a return. May not happen overnight, but even if it is a couple of years from now, it could still happen. Keep the faith. I know CM Punk is not the nicest person in real life, but, you know, his shelf life is not done yet. So, we get another backstage shot, Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce, they became ambulance crew. It was like all the EMS were gone except for one person, and they're wheeling him to the ambulance. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Natty and Tamina beating the Riot Squad. You know, WWE is lucky. They almost panned to the rampway before Billy Kay came out. I don't know if you noticed that. Basically, what happened, I sparked a lot of conversation with CM Punk. Yeah, I think New Japan would be a great fit. I would think New Japan could pay him some pretty big bucks. And I think it would get some crazy-ass exposure. Seriously. So anyway, Riot Squad take on Tamina and Natty. And they're trying to explain to us why Tamina and Natty are a team. Oh, because their dads used to wrestle. They grew up with a family. After all these fucking years, that's the reason why you team up together? I mean, how many years are they in the business? I'm not complaining about it. And by the way, I do have this on cue. That depends if you want me to talk about it tonight. Major controversy on social media about that picture. Oh, if you have, you missed out on a lot of, I wouldn't call it fun, but you've missed out on a lot of interesting reactions by people in wrestling, especially women. So maybe later, if you want me to talk about that, I will. If you don't want me to, or if you want me to save it until Monday and I'll talk about it with Mish, we can do that also. So anyway, Riot Squad's having their match with Tamina and Natty. And, you know, Riot Squad kind of have the upper hand. Next thing you know, the camera pans to the rampway. And like I said, they almost panned too soon. Here comes Billy Kay, you know, skipping down the ring almost a little bit like AJ Lee. And she's dressed kind of like the Riot Squad. After all these fucking weeks, see, this is why I don't like, yes, I'm a stickler to detail, but it's things like this that I can't stand. Billy Kay has dressed up like the Riot Squad before. Billy Kay dressed up a couple of weeks ago and actually on social media posted a picture of her from like 10 years ago, and she used to dress like that also. So in storyline, the Riot Squad have already seen Billy Kay dressed like them. So Billy Kay skips down to the ring, and the first words out of Liv Morgan is, "Oh yeah, nice outfit, nice outfit." Acting as if they never saw that before. And I thought it was so goddamn dumb. And then you have Ruby Riot turn around. And, you know, it ends up she gets squashed by Tamina. And she gets pinned. And this time around, Billy Kay hits the ring and immediately starts celebrating with Natty and Tamina. And basically, Tamina just knocks her out. Knocks her out. This storyline with Billy Kay has to end. I don't understand why WWE. Now, let me make a prediction. Oh, let me make a prediction. Billy Kay and, oh my God, I just drew Peyton Royce. Almost drew a blank. Brain fart. Billy Kay and Peyton Royce will now become a tag team again, with Lacey Evans legitimately pregnant and Lacey Evans now out of wrestling for a minimum a year to 18 months. Peyton Royce has no tag team partner. Yes, Peyton Royce was supposed to break out as a single star. And Peyton Royce has definitely improved over the last 2 years. Shawn Spears has helped her a great deal. A great deal. Problem is, when you look at Raw and you look at SmackDown, you start adding all of the singles, the women singles wrestlers that are above the food chain than her. There is no way Peyton Royce is leapfrogging any of those women. That's why Lacey Evans, the only reason why she leapfrogged everyone else is because they had to do this storyline with Ric Flair. Outside of that, people were having nightmares of Lacey Evans when King Corbin was around with Seth Rollins and the man. So now with Lacey Evans pregnant, congrats to her. Obviously a wonderful thing. Good for her. This leaves Peyton Royce in limbo. Billy Kay will team up with Peyton Royce again. And I personally think it will happen by WrestleMania. And who knows, it could happen in the next couple of weeks. I personally think that her not, you know, because the last month or two, whenever the Riot Squad have lost because of Billy Kay, Billy Kay sulking, you know, upset, and the Riot Squad upset at her, but they feel bad for her. And it's tonight, they did a major shift. Billy Kay now celebrating with the other team. And she gets laid out. So now Billy Kay has nobody to align herself with. I think this ultimately leads with an iconic reunion. I think that will happen. I'm not a big fan of the Iconics. But I also believe that anybody out there could improve. Could improve. I know how many years Billy Kay has been wrestling. And after all these years, you know, even when she, I mean, even when she got laid out by Tamina tonight, you see how Billie Kay takes a bump. She doesn't do like an impressive back bump and land hard on herself. Like you get super kicked. You know, you get a clothesline from hell. Your ass hits that mat hard. With Billie Kay, it's like, that's how she is. But never say never, man. Never say never. But I think we will see an iconic reunion. Next, we get Duck Duck Go or Ding Dong Hello, that segment. Man, that was kind of rough. Bayley's interviewing the women's tag champs. And they're cracking jokes about Sasha. They're cracking jokes about Bianca Belair. And Nia says that she's, you know, she's talking like Sasha thinks she's the hottest woman or the prettiest woman, the sexiest woman in wrestling. Look at me. And I've said before, I think Nia Jax is extremely attractive. I have nothing against Nia Jax in the looks department. None against it at all. But instead of having Sasha and Bianca come out right away, we get not Reginald, because Reginald is like, you know, I know this toxic masculinity that people accuse people doing on social media, and there's reversal as well. I don't think this is anything of that, but I know there's a lot of people get triggered that Reginald is constantly getting insulted, harassed, beat up, embarrassed by women. There's a lot of guys on social media that accuse WWE of all this sexist stuff. So, you know, Reginald is, I call him Vagibald. Instead of Reginald, he's Vagibald. You know, Vagibald comes down to the ring and he's got this infatuation with Sasha Banks. Ooh, I think Sasha and her sidekick could beat both of you. Yeah, there are some fragile dudes, Benjamin. Oh my God, there's some fragile dudes. I admit it, man. I sit back and I laugh sometimes. You got people out there that, you know, just emotionally are like, you know, like the toughest knives in the drawer. Like, you know, make one little insult and they just melt. It happens in wrestling too. You see people melting. My God, do I need to show this again? The melting. And when we talk about that, you know, I'll just say this right now. I'll just say this about this picture. Okay. I know Natty was very upset at it. I mean, honestly, who wants to be in the $1 category? Seriously. I mean, I don't, honestly, none against Kaylee Ray, but is this because there's some champions? I don't know, but you know, it's like, my honest take about this is one thing. Natty got very upset at this picture. Matt Cardona really voiced out and spoke about it, and he was uber upset at it as well, and other people in wrestling too. Now, yes, there have been male versions of this before. Yes, there have been tag team versions of this before. My honest opinion about that is one thing. None of these people, as far as I know, none of these people in wrestling that get very angry at that, what you just saw, they're not calling out Fox because of the $1 billion deal. I like Ryan Satin. I follow him. I have no problem with the guy, but he did that list not too long ago that honestly was just stupid. And yes, his explanation was that's for a different type of audience. It's not for us and the smarter people and this and that. I get it. But anybody noticed that it's repeatedly Fox putting this dopey shit up there? It is Fox putting this dopey shit up there. So if my honest opinion is anybody in wrestling, from Natty to Cardona or anybody else, if they're that upset at this, then all right, start speaking up and saying, why is Fox keep putting out this dumb shit? Nobody's going to do that. Because, you know, I mean, put it this way. Fox is not going to say to WWE, look, she goes or we do not pay you. This isn't, you know, it's not going to happen. But you see quickly the transparency of this. You see the fake outrage online. I'm not accusing any of them of being fake outrage. But, you know, again, remember what I said about me? That I learned my lesson the hard way last year, that people got angry at the messenger instead of the message. This is the opposite. They're angry at the message, but they don't get angry at the messenger, the one who is creating this. So honestly, until some of these people, and you know what? Cardona, he don't work for WWE. I want to see some of these people legitimately outraged in wrestling that are not on WWE's payroll to start calling out Fox for these dopey articles. Oh, it's designed for a different demographic. What? Now, I got to be very careful with the words that I say. Let's say the brain dead stone demographic, the 5-year-old demographic. You know, I don't want to use, you know, my usual demographics that I've used before. Speak up. Call them out. They're afraid. Afraid. Woo, woo, woo. Woo, woo, woo. By the way, what would you do? Bill your team for $15. I would choose, for $15, I would choose Charlotte Flair for $5. I would choose Asuka for $4. That is $9. I would choose, let's see, that's $9. I would choose Raquel Gonzalez for $2. That is $11. I would choose Ruby Riott, which would be $12. And now I'm forced to choose another one for $1. I'd choose Peyton Royce. That would be mine for my $15. Now, you see, I chose dollar. Dumb. So anyway, we get back to the ding dong. Hello. I got to put the sound effect in the computer, the doorbell. You know, Bailey is good in this role. I like how she dresses. She's like an 80s talk show host, teasing that she's going to take Ellen's job and this and that. But the Nia Shayna thing, you could see this a mile away. We talked about it last week. This was designed to set up the tag title match with Sasha and Bianca. Not needed. But Reginald Vagabald, he comes out and he basically gets reprimanded by Nia and Shayna. Sasha's music hits. You don't talk for me. And then, oh, we got it tonight. That fake laugh that Sasha does now. You saw it tonight. She did it twice. First time it was a tease. She was going to do it. She's like, and then she stopped. It almost sounds like a sexy Spanish Peter Griffin. She's got that troll laugh. She's got it down pat. I'm not criticizing her. But, you know, you don't speak for me. You. And then Bianca Belair coming out. Oh, no, I'm nobody's sidekick. I'm the EST and this and that. And I'm the EST and then this and that. And then Reginald comes up with this great idea. How's about the three of us versus the three of you? And I'm like, okay, Bailey is not dressed to wrestle. Nice blouse. You know, I don't want to be perverted here, but nice blouse. But you know she ain't going to do not much in a match. We go to commercial, we come back, and we got I can't even say a 6-woman tag match. We got Sasha, Bianca, and Vagabald versus Nia, Shayna, and Bayley. So what ends up happening? What you expected to happen. It ends up with Reginald and Nia in the ring together. Everything Reginald does, Nia just swats him like a fly. And then you got that overly choreographed. Nia picks up Reginald, gets double drop kicked by Sasha and Bianca. They fall backwards. We had a spot where Nia fell on her ass again. But no yelling of my hole. But Reginald pins Nia Jax. And when you watch that happening, just watch Bayley. And she's just hanging out outside the ring, not doing nothing. And like I said, I know the feud with Bayley and Sasha is over. They've moved on from that. But to see this ding-dong dung segment, and Sasha enters the ring, and all that heat and hatred with Bayley and Sasha Banks, use the door. Use the forbidden door. My back door. Use the door. Too soon, in my honest opinion. Just too soon. So later on in the night, and I know I'm going a little bit out of place, Carmella's in a locker room, and Reginald is a little bit late giving her some red wine. And she's like, why are you late? And he's trying to, like, make an excuse for her. And she's like, I'm not stupid. I saw what you did out there. And then she takes a sip of the wine, spits it all over the place. What garbage did you give me? Go get me some real. And she just dumps it all over Reginald. So like I said, for some of those very fragile men out there that think WWE is just embarrassing a man and having all these women, you know, assault him, humiliate him, spit on him, throw wine on him, punch him. This, he got a fucking pin tonight against a woman. People, man, there's some people really weird with their outrage. But later on, we find out we're getting the women's tag match at Elimination Chamber. Sasha and Bianca Belair versus Nia and Shayna. I already said before, I'm a little bit of a toss-up as far as what's going to go down. Look, I like Reginald. I mean, we talked about it like 2 months ago, his background in the Cirque du Soleil or something like that. Guy is really talented, acrobatic. I mean, the guy really, you know, I mean, if he could put it together with wrestling, I think he actually could actually be very interesting in that ring. But, you know, it's just, it's a weird way to set this up. And I almost feel, and the more I think about it, I almost feel like Reginald being in this match today is going to be the cause of the outcome on Sunday. That I now I'm starting to think about it more and more. Reginald will be the cause of the outcome Sunday. So I'll get to predictions soon. So now we get Rey Mysterio and Dominic. I guess they defeat Chad Gable and Otis by disqualification. We talked about it earlier. Fun match while it lasted. Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler in commentary. And then basically Otis gets the upper hand on Rey. And Chad Gable is pretty much instructing Otis, don't let up, keep going, keep doing it, keep doing it. And Otis keeps assaulting Rey. But it was just really awkward because Chad Gable is just, oh, and here's another thing that pissed me off. I got to mention this about the women's match too. There was one point in the match tonight, in the women's match, where Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair were beating up Nia Jax outside the ring. And as much as we criticize AEW with their referees, look at the fucking referee while this is going on. The referee is just like, I mean, not counting, not calling for a DQ, nothing. They're just beating up Nia Jax outside the ring, 2-on-1, and the referee's doing nothing about it. So, I'm looking at some of the comments over there. A lot of people on commentary tonight. Yeah, a lot of people on commentary tonight. Yes, a lot of people on commentary tonight. So we get Dolph and Robert Roode on commentary. Mysterios are in the ring. Otis gets the upper hand. Chad Gable is standing in the ring, basically just instructing Otis. I don't even think Chad Gable was attacking Rey at the time. Referee calls for the bell. We don't know what the official outcome is, but for me, I would say they got disqualified. Chad Gable was in the ring. Otis continues to beat up Rey. A lot of power moves. Splash over the top rope. Off the top rope, they repeated it several times to sell how powerful that was. And Otis has got this look like, you know, kind of like this. You know, no angry, evil look. That usually if somebody turns heel, they somehow look constipated all of a sudden. Think Powerhouse Hobbs. But, you know, he kind of likes it. We'll see where it goes from here. So now we get a backstage segment where, because this main event tonight is a six-man tag match. Now, I love the people out there that said early on that the winning team gets the advantage on Sunday. And I'm like, wait, what does that mean? Well, then, you know, like, the you have two people start, and then the next person that comes out would be on the same team. And I'm thinking about that. I'm like, okay, give me, I'm assuming that they're smoking with Riddle right now. Because do I understand this correctly? And I'm being sarcastic for a minute. It's every man for himself on Sunday. So what the hell does that even mean? That the winning team gets some advantage? What advantage? What advantage? Every single person that's in the match is fighting each other. So even if the first three people in the match are Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, you know, and what does that mean? Kevin Owens. They're going to beat each other up on Sunday. It was so dumb, man. It was so dumb. The match was fun today. It was fun. But before the match, you know, his partners, Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, are trying to play up to Kevin Owens that Kevin Owens can't be trusted. Look at how many times he's turned on his partners in the past. But they have a great match. And, you know, in the end, Daniel Bryan pins Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn has his camera guys out there. And by the way, Sami Zayn did an interview, I think, with Ryan Satin, and Sami Zayn revealed that all his footage that they're recording is for a legit little documentary that they're doing featuring Sami Zayn. So, you know, what it exactly is, we don't know. But, you know, there is footage legitimately being recorded. So, Daniel Bryan pins Sami Zayn. And after the match is over, everybody's hitting their finishers to hype up for Sunday. And, you know, you get Cesaro did the swing a couple of times. I think he started getting way too dizzy. I think he dropped Baron Corbin right before they went to commercial. But at the very end, everybody's hitting their finishers. Cesaro hit the uppercut. Kevin Owens with a couple of stunners. Sami Zayn hit his finisher. But then out of nowhere, after Jey Uso, I think, super kicked someone, Edge spears Jey Uso. Edge is immediately speared by Roman Reigns. So Roman Reigns is standing over Edge. Roman Reigns lifts up his hand, give me my title, and we go off the air. That's why a lot of people are saying, I hope it's not just Battle of the Spear. I still think that Christian will be a factor in this storyline. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, if Christian, if they announce next week or the week after, like, oh, next week Christian makes his SmackDown return. I know a lot of us hope he gets a match with Big E, which I think will happen. If you remember the whole storyline, Christian, number one contender before he was injured. But if they do that, you know that Roman Reigns will end up beating the balls off of Christian. And that might be the deciding factor for Edge to want to tear Roman Reigns' head off at WrestleMania. We will see. So this episode of SmackDown, not bad, but there were some individual moments that were just really, really hokey. That women's match I thought was horrendous. The finish of the tag match with Otis and Gable was very, very messy. You know, some of the other work tonight, the main event was fine, but, and Kevin Owens, you know, doing his thing, teasing that, you know, he's going to end up facing Roman again. Let's get into predictions. Let's go right into predictions. How long are we going tonight so far? We started 10. Oh, cool. 65 minutes, an hour and 5 minutes. Oh, I'll be done within 90 minutes tonight. Awesome. Awesome. VJ, maybe I'll do the Riddle dance when I feel a little better. Maybe Monday when they're on TV. Especially, we'll see what happens with Riddle after this Sunday. So anyway, one match added today, women's tag match. Big E versus Apollo or Big E versus Apollo versus Nakamura is not officially added yet. I will include that match in my predictions in case they do add it. No matter what, Big E keeps that title. Interesting, right? Remember we all were hoping that Big E was going to take on Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? And now you look at it and you just say to yourself, you know, who is Big E going to face at WrestleMania? You know, are we going to possibly get a New Day reunion at WrestleMania? So no matter what, this match happens on Sunday or if it happens on SmackDown next week, Big E retains that title. Bobby Lashley versus Keith Lee versus Riddle, triple threat match for the United States Championship. Few outlets are saying that Keith Lee is not 100% and there is a possibility that he may not be in the match. If it was that close to showtime, I think they would have changed the match already. So I am going to give my prediction based on the fact that all three are going to face each other. As much as I would like to see Riddle with a championship reign, all his brain dead Fast Times at Ridgemont High stuff they've been doing with him, Bobby Lashley's on some crazy ass momentum. And unless they're thinking about having Lashley versus Drew at Mania, which I don't know if that's the case, right now, we're still 50 days away. Lashley could lose the title 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, a month from now. But I say that Bobby Lashley retains. No matter what, I think Bobby Lashley walks out with that championship. Now, it's interesting because when we go down these matches, I don't know if we're going to have any title changes Sunday. Let's talk about the women's match. Wasn't sure before, now I got to give you a prediction. Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, defending the women's tag championships against Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Too soon, too forced, not necessary. I think that's what we pretty much have been saying. They win the tag belts. You know, they got to start setting up anger against each other. And I don't want them to be champions 2, 3, 4 weeks and then lose it and then have Sasha turn on Bianca or, you know, they just have a falling out. And the sad thing about it is, since it's 55 days away or 50 days away, I think it's 50 days away, that's 7 weeks. 7 weeks. They could hold the belt for 4 or 5 weeks and still build up. The thing is, though, is we want to know now who Bianca's going to choose as an opponent. So what do? They win the tag belts, and then while they're tag champions, Bianca says she chooses Sasha. I don't know. It's kind of dopey, in my opinion. I personally think putting Reginald in this tonight was to keep his name involved in this. I think Reginald tries to interfere and backfires, and as a result, Sasha and Bianca lose on Sunday. I say Nia and Shayna retain. I don't want to see Bianca and Sasha next week on SmackDown blaming each other for the loss and incorporating Reginald in this. Please, not necessary. You got two of the top women in WWE. You don't need all this hokey secondary storyline shit. So I'm going with Nia and Shayna to retain. Drew McIntyre versus AJ Styles versus Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton versus Sheamus versus Kofi. Elimination Chamber match to determine the WWE champion. There is no way, and I've said this repeatedly, there is no way right before the return of substantial number of fans in attendance, 20, 30,000 fans, maybe more, at WrestleMania, you are not going to take the title off of Drew McIntyre and not have one major event that he cannot perform as champion in front of live fans. There is no way Drew McIntyre is losing the belt this Sunday. Drew McIntyre will retain. Maybe Braun Strowman gets involved. We didn't see Braun Strowman tonight get angry and show up. Yes, he's a Raw wrestler, but Braun making the threats on Monday in storyline, he should have showed up on SmackDown threatening to cause chaos and, you know, basically reminding Adam Pearce, you know, I'm not joking, you know. So I think Braun Strowman may get involved. I do not want Braun Strowman versus Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. No, 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 no. And don't be surprised if some people start throwing that around. But wouldn't surprise me if Braun gets involved in some capacity Sunday. But no matter what, Drew McIntyre walks out with that championship. Somebody's asking me about that title. Do we think WWE will have a WWE champion and Universal champion each have a championship match on WrestleMania Saturday and WrestleMania? No. One will defend on Saturday. One will defend on Sunday. They're not going to have two matches each. It'll be one on Saturday, one on Sunday. Depending on who Drew's opponent is going to be will depend on who actually closes it out Sunday. I think if it's Drew McIntyre versus Brock Lesnar, that main event will close out Sunday night. Roman Reigns and Edge, I think, will close out Saturday night. But until we know who the matches, the actual matches, it's too soon. But there's no way. Just think about that for a minute. See, Edge, it was special. Edge participated in the Royal Rumble, performed for an hour, then the next day performed for almost a half an hour with Randy Orton. You're not going to have Drew McIntyre battle at WrestleMania on Saturday night, be sore as hell, ice up, and then go at it again the following night. Yes, before you even say anything, you say to me, oh, wait a minute, but they perform at WrestleMania and then they perform the night after WrestleMania. I get it. But the night after WrestleMania, it's not usually a high-profile match. There's usually some, you know, special, you know, involvement. So I still think Brock returns. I still think Brock returns. Jermaine Priestley says he sees WWE putting the women's tag titles on Sasha and Bianca to keep them not taking any losses going into Mania. Yeah, I could see that also. I mean, we talked about it last week before anybody was bringing it up. I mean, they could very well end up winning these belts, having a little bit of a run, having a loss. They blame it on each other or some type of, you know, faux pas happens. It leads to a shoving match where no one is really the instigator and you have all the officials breaking it up and that leads to the match. The thing is, though, is you have to announce Bianca's opponent and Edge's opponent within the next 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks tops. You can't keep milking it and teasing in this because people are going to get pissed off. Some people are already getting sick of Edge after a month. You know, I don't agree with that, but you know, I could see why people feel that this is overly drawn out, that Edge is having so many brain farts, he has no idea who he wants to face. You know, it's a storyline. It's not real. But still, the way it's perceived on TV is a little bit hokey. So Drew McIntyre will retain. Now, on the other side, Carrizabelle, would he be wrong to compare Cesaro's raw strength to a young Goldberg? I don't know if I would compare him to Goldberg because Goldberg was just a monster. You know, I'll give you one that's outdated, and I guarantee you older fans out there will say DT. That is an awesome comparison. You know who Cesaro reminds me a lot of with the strength? I'm curious if anybody out there in the chat chooses who I choose. I'll give you a hint. It's somebody that obviously is retired that was most notable in the 80s and the 90s. But somebody who had raw strength, and you would see the person and you would not think that that person had... No, Davey Boy Smith, he had muscles on top of muscles. But Bob Backlund. anybody out there, if you go back and you watch Backlund as the WWF champion from 78 to 83, even when he fought Hogan, you would see him pick up people and pick up like dead weight, where they're laying out on the mat and just picking them up off the mat, not getting pushed off or anything else. Hercules is already a monster. Cesaro doesn't show. Cesaro is built. But you see Cesaro's physique, you don't expect Cesaro to be that strong. And honestly, shout out to Steve. Thank you for the kind words, Steve. Backlund, if you go back and you watch some of his old stuff from the early 80s, he had raw power, and they used to talk about it all the time. Backlund had unbelievable strength. Look at his matches, like I said, against Hogan, Stan Hansen. Look at him against Big John Studd. Look at some of the strength that this guy does, and you'd be like, holy shit. Trust me, I grew up in that era, and WWF would go out of their way to talk about how, you know, it's uncanny. That's the word they would use. It was uncanny, the strength that Backlund would have. Guy's a maniac in the strength. So I would say Backlund. Goldberg is a physical specimen. You see somebody that big, even when Goldberg first started as a football player and went to the WCW training camp, his physique was already, you know, you would be intimidated. Cesaro, it's not that you're not intimidated, but you don't expect that kind of strength. Ahmed Johnson was a beast already. Hercules was a beast. Dynamite Kid. You're talking about someone who you looked at them and they were in fit, but you never would think they would have that kind of power. William Regal's another one. William Regal had crazy-ass power. So, with that said, let's get into this other match. Elimination Chamber. A lot of people are rooting for Cesaro. A lot of people rooting for Cesaro. You got Jey Uso versus Corbin versus Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn versus Cesaro versus Daniel Bryan. Winner of the Elimination Chamber will then immediately take on Roman Reigns for the WWE Universal Championship. Now, they should not have this match happen early and then have that person come out later to take on Roman Reigns. Whoever it is, they should compete in that match immediately after the Elimination Chamber. So the storyline could strengthen that person just went through the Elimination Chamber and now they got to face a fresh Roman Reigns. That's how they got to do it. So, for me, it comes down to two people. Daniel Bryan or Cesaro. Because they're already planting the seeds of possibly Cesaro versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. I wonder if Seth Rollins gets involved in some capacity Sunday. I don't want to see that happen. Maybe Seth Rollins gets involved in the Roman Reigns match Sunday. Remember, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, part of the Shield. So you could go two ways with this. Cesaro could win the chamber, get the match with Roman Reigns, and then Seth Rollins shows up, even though Roman Reigns doesn't need his former Shield partner helping him, but Seth Rollins gets involved, causes Cesaro the match, and Roman Reigns retains. That is one scenario. The other scenario is Daniel Bryan wins the Elimination Chamber, which a lot of people think is going to happen. Daniel Bryan, as the sympathetic challenger, gets a shot at Roman Reigns, and he loses. But I think the reason why, and put it this way, up until tonight, my choice was Daniel Bryan to win the chamber and then lose to Roman Reigns. Tonight, I changed my mind. Tonight, I choose Cesaro instead. And the reason why I choose Cesaro is, number one, Cesaro finally gets a high-profile world title match, even though he's not going to win. There's no point in having Cesaro and Seth Rollins brawl last week just to postpone it for a couple of weeks with no reason. You understand what I'm saying? Like, they could have done something else 2 weeks from that, from, you know, they 2 weeks from last week. Last week, Seth Rollins comes back, cuts the promo, everybody walks out, Cesaro contemplates, he leaves, and they have a brawl. They could have had something 2 weeks from now or next week where Seth Rollins comes out, says something, and it leads to Cesaro and him brawling. So I think planting that seed of Seth Rollins and Cesaro brawling with each other, I think that comes into play on Sunday. I think even though, like I said, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins are not reuniting, and I don't even think WWE wants Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, people to be reminded of the Shield because Jon Moxley is in AEW, especially with that high-profile match coming up, I still think that Cesaro wins the chamber and loses to Reigns. Maybe Seth Rollins gets involved. And that's it. Roman Reigns ends out on top. And I don't think we left any matches out. Yeah, that's Elimination Chamber. So as of right now, we have five matches. You know, will they add a sixth or a seventh match? We will see. What do you all think about that? Cesaro winning the chamber and then Seth Rollins causing him the win against Roman Reigns. Little shift. Maybe Jey Uso is so banged up. Maybe Jey Uso is carried out from the chamber, and that sets up that Roman Reigns doesn't even have Jey Uso in his corner. They could do something with that. Jey Uso could end up taken out in that match to play the storyline that Roman Reigns has got to face the winner of the Elimination Chamber, and Jey Uso is not going to be in his corner. Seth Rollins shows up instead. So yeah, so that's what I'm going with. So those are my predictions. So I think the pay-per-view will be fine. We really have not had shitty pay-per-view this year. Yes, we've had matches that were disappointing, but overall, I think we've had some and look, well, yeah, we're only in February, so I don't mean just the first 2 months of the year, but you know, look, even with COVID, we really have not had bad pay-per-views. Bad matches, yes. Should Daniel Bryan win, Chris? Yes. But you know what? I like Cesaro. Guy cut an amazing promo last week on Talking Smack. I wish they would have showed that tonight on SmackDown. Would have put, and you know what? Maybe the reason why they didn't show it is because they don't want anybody to start thinking about Cesaro. Like, Cesaro would be so unexpected in casual fans' eyes. I think that's the reason why they didn't even show the Talking Smack promo tonight. So, yeah, well, let's go with that. We'll see what happens. We'll see if we keep our streak. So, before I go, let's talk about the quarter hour ratings for NXT and AEW for this past Wednesday. Now, I'm going to tell you something right off the bat. I mentioned this yesterday, very briefly. Remember last week, AEW scored 741 in the ratings. They blamed the low rating on the impeachment hearings. Now, you remember last week I put up that grid comparing the viewers of news broadcasts between 8 and 10 last week to the week before, and there were more people watching news between 8 and 10 2 weeks earlier. Carrezabel, I said earlier, I'm doing a recap and a review Sunday. I'm not doing a watch-along. I'll be here right after the pay-per-view ends. Watch-along, you know, I think Sunday would probably not be the right way to go. We'll do a recap and a review. But so last week, we basically dispelled the nonsense that news is why AEW's wrestling sucked, or the ratings sucked. I'm not saying the wrestling sucked. I kind of enjoyed last week. But you remember January 6th, when they stormed the Capitol, those assholes. They blamed the news footage from that night on the low AEW rating. The following week, I think the rating went down. Couldn't blame it on that. They tried to do it again last week. Do you know last week when they scored 741, blamed it on the news? You know what they scored this week? 747. They only went up 6,000 viewers. Once again, this excuse of news, wrestling fans watching news instead, bullshit. By the way, my prediction was 744. So I was winning 3,000. But let me say this about NXT. AEW scored 747. NXT scored 713. So you're going to say, wow, DT. NXT was only 34,000 viewers from AEW? Well, here's the thing. The first quarter of NXT, when Kyle O'Reilly came out, remember what we said on Wednesday? After that opening quarter, it just everything felt like it was a fucking mess. Everything felt like a goddamn mess Wednesday night. Do you know that first quarter, they scored 997,000 viewers. You never hear a million viewers for a quarter for NXT. Now, obviously, the NXT haters are blaming it on NCI or whatever the TV show is, which is dopey hilarious because they don't ever say the same thing when AEW has an opening quarter of a million. But here's my point. NXT opened up with 997,000 viewers, 200,000 viewers more than AEW. They couldn't keep the viewers. The next quarter for NXT, which was Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell versus Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon. Remember when I said at the beginning of tonight's show, not a good night for the NXT women? That quarter hour dropped 225,000 viewers. I think that is the biggest drop for any quarter in NXT since they've been on Wednesday nights going up against AEW. And I double-checked it. I got two different sources, and it is correct. That's how big of a drop, and they never recuperated. There was only one quarter that night that had an increase of viewers. And that quarter, whether you like it or not, the presentation of the Dusty Trophies and Nia and Shayna confronting Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, or vice versa, however you look at it. So, let's get into the ratings. Let's stay on NXT this time. NXT, hour one. Oh, here's my other point. Check this out. If the opening quarter for NXT would have been their average quarter, then NXT's overall rating would have only been somewhere around 675. Then you compare the two and you say, okay, AEW beat them pretty handedly. So NXT's rating, although within 30-something thousand of AEW, it is mostly because of that first quarter hour. Take away that first quarter hour, AEW beats them handedly. NXT, hour one, 780,000. Hour two, a abysmal 646,000 for a composite of 713. Opening quarter, which is the confrontation, Kyle O'Reilly, Finn Balor, Lorcan Birch, Dunn, blah, 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 blah. They did 997,000 viewers. Quarter two, which was Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon versus Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae, and then obviously Austin Theory, you know, being rescued. That rating dropped 225,000 viewers to 772. The third quarter hour, which was Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Leon Ruff, Pat McAfee's promo and a couple other talking segments, that rating continued to drop. It went down 69,000 viewers to 703. Quarter four, which was Casey Catanzaro and Kaden Carter versus Aaliyah and Jesse Kamiya, and then the confrontation with Casey Catanzaro and Xia Li, that rating dropped another 55,000 viewers to 648,000. The only quarter, and I don't even count the main event because the main event only went up 3,000 viewers, I'm telling you now. The only quarter that any decent increase or any increase other than the 3,000 in the main event was the quarter of the Dusty Cup presentation and then the confrontation with Nia, Shayna, Dakota Kai, and Raquel Gonzalez. That quarter hour increased 72,000 viewers to 720,000. The next quarter, which was Kushida versus Tyler Rust and Tony Storm attacking Io Shirai, that quarter hour dropped 89,000 viewers to 631. Maybe you blame that more on Tyler Rust versus Kushida, but still a huge drop. Main event, you had the six-man tag match, Finn Balor Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong versus Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch, and Pete Dunne. That quarter hour only increased 3,000 viewers to 617. That is the second lowest. Those last two quarters were the lowest quarters of the night. Not good for NXT. Not good at all. Especially when you realize who was involved. And this was right off that pay-per-view. So now we go to AEW. Hour one, 775. Hour two, 719 for a composite of 747. Opening quarter, Matt Hardy and Hangman Page beating TH2, and then Matt Hardy having a confrontation with Hangman Page and the contract and the beatdown. That opening quarter was 772,000 viewers, slightly above the average for the night. Second quarter, which was the Inner Circle, cutting that promo, talking about Guevara and everything else, and then the very beginning of Riho versus Serena Deeb, that quarter hour dropped 9,000 viewers to 763. Quarter three, which was a majority of Riho versus Serena Deeb and the training video of Shaq and Jade Cargill, that quarter hour increased 35,000 viewers to 798. In fact, that was the biggest quarter of the night, by the way. So on the NXT side, the women, miserable in the quarter hours. On the AEW side, highest quarter of the night. Yes, Shaq was involved in that. All he was doing is playing basketball, but still. Quarter four, the segment with Kenny Omega reading to the children and Orange Cassidy versus Luther and Sting taking the powerbomb from Brian Cage. That quarter hour dropped 32,000 viewers to 766. Kenny Omega couldn't keep the rating. Sting couldn't keep the rating. Orange Cassidy couldn't keep the rating. Quarter number five, the first half, oh, this is sad. The first half of the Young Bucks versus Santana and Ortiz. Well, the first two-thirds of that match, that quarter hour dropped 76,000 viewers to 699,000. Inner Circle, again, dropping in the ratings. Now, that was quarter five. If you're going to say to me, well, DT, maybe those fans decided to watch NXT instead, you're right. Because quarter five on NXT was the Dusty segment and the confrontation. The problem is, after that quarter hour was over, that 72,000 viewer increase for NXT, they left. Because the next quarter hour dropped 89,000 viewers for NXT. However, on AEW's side, they only increased 9,000 viewers. So those fans that turned off the Young Bucks, Santana and Ortiz, to watch NXT, 90% of them did not go back, which is very interesting. So, quarter five, the finish of the Young Bucks versus Santana Ortiz, the aftermatch beatdown, and the reveal of Cody and Brandi Rhodes' child, which is a girl. Congrats to them. That rating increased slightly, only 9,000 viewers to 708,000. FTR versus Mike and Matt Sydal. After the match, Jurassic Express showing up and Jon Moxley cutting his promo on Kenta and Omega. That rating increased slightly, 20,000 viewers to 728. The main event, which was Jon Moxley, Lance Archer, and Rey Fénix versus Butcher Blade and Eddie Kingston. That rating only increased 13,000 viewers to 741. So, again, very surprising. Young Bucks, that match with Santana Ortiz, which to me was the money match of the night. You know, a lot of people said to me during that night Wednesday, even on the show, that they thought that the Young Bucks versus Santana Ortiz should have closed out Dynamite, but they went with the six-man tag instead, and it really did not maintain the viewers. So very interesting to see those numbers this week. Very interesting. And you can't blame it on insurrection. Can't blame it on impeachment hearings. Can't blame it on anything but the fact that, you know, the numbers are not very good right now. You add the two together, AEW did 747, NXT did what, 713? That's only 1.45 million viewers, 1.46. We were getting close to 1.8 million not too long ago. You're talking a 300,000 plus drop in the combined viewership. There is no, you know, major sports events going on that I'm aware of. There's no major controversy right now. To have 300,000-400,000 viewers leave in a matter of 2 months, that's got to be concerning. We didn't get suddenly new streaming media outlets airing this stuff that suddenly people are, oh, I'm going to go check it out here instead. No, Benjamin, would power outages in Texas make enough difference? No. No. Just like even with, you know, we've had some instances here and there for whatever reasons. No, wouldn't have made the difference. You add up how many people would not have been able to tune in. It wouldn't have made a difference. You know, it's a trend. Every single week, somebody's trying to make an excuse. I'm not saying you are, but every single week, somebody's trying to make an excuse. It's the election. It's the riots. It's the insurrection. It's the impeachment hearings. It's the playoffs. It's this. It's that. No, it's not. Because it comes down to fans choosing to do something else or watch something else than wrestling on Wednesday night. And I know what you're going to say. Well, maybe they watched it on Hulu later in the week. Maybe they watched it on YouTube. Maybe they watched that. You still got to be concerned. Because even if they eventually watch it, they're telling you that 300,000 to 400,000 fans have now decided that AEW and NXT are not their first choice for their entertainment on Wednesday night. And that's what it comes down to. That's why I don't like adding up, oh, the streaming media. Oh, the replay 2 days later. Oh, the replay that happened 4 days later. What about the weekend? What about this? No, the fact is, you want your viewers to have your product as their first choice to enjoy. And wrestling, even on WWE, on Raw, you see how bad those numbers have gone down in a matter of 2 or 3 years? It's because fans have decided that for Monday nights, wrestling is no longer must-see television. So anyway, that's it. That's it for tonight. So with that said, I am going to get out of here. I hope you all enjoyed tonight. I'm very happy that we were able to get through this episode because honestly, I'm not trying to get well wishes or anything. I feel like shit. They did say, and I was warned and prepared, that getting the second shot for the COVID vaccine, you suffer more side effects. And I'm feeling it now, but I'm going to get myself a really good night's sleep tonight. She's not here today. So I actually get to go sleep. I can wake up late tomorrow. I'm not going to see it till the afternoon. Now, thank you, Neil, and thank you, everybody out there. And once again, seriously, thank you, everybody, for making last night a little extra special. Because like I said, you know, a lot of that wrestling footage, I stored that away with the idea of never showing it to anybody. Because I was convinced and told 1,000 times over that it was garbage, terrible, it sucked. And, you know, I was watching it yesterday and looking into reactions and said, you know, actually, I don't think it was that bad. You know, for indie wrestling, I'm not saying for what you see on TV, but for indie wrestling, I didn't think it was that bad. And I have tons of it that we're going to start airing. And we'll keep it on Thursday nights. So this way, every show that we do has a different theme and different content. But, yeah, so next Thursday, I will definitely be streaming more. I will start going through all the old DVDs and everything. And I tell you, it feels good to look at, you know, I was pointing it out yesterday. I'm not trying to be conceited right now, anyone. I swear to God. But seriously, like, for example, for this DVD, for this wrestling event, you know, it's pretty good to see yourself making a DVD cover art. But even this episode, you know, it feels good to look at the bottom and see that I'm on the main event. You know, it felt good, man. I'm not going to lie. It's not to try to show anybody up. But next Thursday, we'll watch more of it. So I'm going to jet out of here. Everyone have a nice weekend. For my Patreon family, the predictions contest will be posted Saturday afternoon, probably like around lunchtime. That'll give everybody 24 hours to enter the contest. You don't need more than 24 hours. There's only 5 matches, so that'll be up tomorrow. And then everyone join me here Sunday night, right after Elimination Chamber. We'll do a recap, and definitely would love to have you all hang out for a little while. So much love, everybody. Thank you for the support. Big shout out to my family out there. And you know what? It would be so disrespectful. I know I saved it for the end. It was not intended. But in case you're not aware of it already, I launched memberships here on the YouTube channel. I don't want anybody to think you have to sign up for it. But if you want to go check it out, there's custom emojis, custom badges, there's other perks, there's 3 different tiers. So if you want to go check it out, these are members of the family. These are some very special individuals, and go check it out. Like I said, no obligation, and I don't want anybody to think that you have to sign up for it, but there was a lot of you out there that wanted to have the, you know, opportunity to, like I said, with the emojis or anything else. So go check it out. But one thing's for certain, even if you don't sign up, you still get me on Sunday and Monday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. So surprise, you're not sick of me yet. But you see me more than my fiance does every week. That's probably true. If you think about it, it's probably true. Yeah, that's some cool emojis. We'll be adding more soon. But everyone have a great night. All the best. Enjoy Elimination Chamber. And I will be back here Sunday night right after the pay-per-view. So be well, everyone. Good night and much love. Talk to you soon. Ciao.